Program. Let's continue. Line number four. Say good morning to the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association, Dean Ingram. Good morning, Dean. You're on the air.
And good morning to you and your listening audience. Patty, from the outset, I think before we get started, what I wanted to call in about, so I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everyone, students, parents, and certainly teachers, all the best for the Easter break. There's no doubt that this year has been challenging for all three of those groups, and it's very important for everyone to take the time over the break to rejuvenate, to relax. Going forward, there's a lot of the school year left after Easter, and there's lots of things we're facing. So if there's ever a time to relax, to enjoy Easter for what it will be, it'll be different. But now is the time. So I'd certainly encourage everyone to take time for themselves over the Easter break in preparation for the year to come after it.
Yes, because there's lots left of the school year, as you rightfully point out, and hopefully they do get a bit of a break. But, of course, the break is short-lived for many teachers and administrators, and certainly with some of the unknowns surrounding high school. I don't know how quickly they'll be able to make a decision as to whether high schoolers get back in the classroom. I know it's been difficult for a lot of students. You know, you need that level of determination, and it's difficult for the teachers. And if you need some additional help, and maybe it's a little bit harder to come by when you can't just put up your hand and have a teacher walk to your desk. So I'm keenly looking at it. But when we talk about some promises or pledges made by governments, and not just this one, but governments in the past, and whether it be guidance counselor ratios, but teacher-student or teacher allocation models, that's something that has been a bugaboo for you and for, I think, everybody who's got a school-age child.
Absolutely, and it's not something that, it's not new. I mean, during the campaign, in fact, even before the campaign, in speaking with Mr. Fury when he was vying to be the leader of the Liberal Party, we met with Mr. Fury then at the time. We certainly had our leaders' campaign, and one of the things that Premier Fury made in our leaders' forum, and a very important statement to our members and the entire province, was that there was a commitment and a promise to conduct the long overdue independent review of the teacher allocation model. In fact, his exact words were that the review would be commenced as soon as his new Liberal government was in place, and that is indeed the case now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I always held that commitments made should be commitments that were kept. And while I've got no reason to believe that they won't be, I just want to remind that this is something that was committed to, and we would expect, I expect everyone, that it will be followed through on.
You would hope so, because class size, you know, we started to talk about class size when the pandemic struck, insofar as if the kids go back to school or the students go back to school, class sizes didn't change, even though we're asked to physically distance elsewhere. Let's not let class size just be related to the pandemic. It has everything to do with the actual ability for the teacher to adequately deliver the one-on-one tutelage, that whether it be a child that needs extra help and or folks who are exceptional. And so this is an important topic. You know, the government tiptoes around. They have soft caps and hard caps. Let's just forget all of those. Try to, you know, confuse people with the verbiage associated with. Let's reduce the numbers of children in each classroom so that we can see an increase in positive educational outcomes. The end.
Well, there's two pieces of that as well, Patty. While I certainly agree that class size is an important piece of it, and it 100% is, but the other piece, that, which is why we've been pressing for a full review, is the class composition piece. That class composition is equally important. Sometimes it's not the raw numbers of students you have, but the composition and resources needed within that classroom to address the needs, as you rightly point out, those individual students. The fact is, this review is long overdue. Class size and composition was an issue before COVID. The necessity of looking at it was crystallized during COVID. We need to take steps now as we move forward to avoid it being an issue post-COVID. This commitment initially was made in 2011 as per a cabinet directive.
Mm-hmm.
And while in 2008 the Shortall Commission, which was an independent review at the time, identified and made some positive changes in the system, since 2008, because of various initiatives, we've actually seen an erosion of some of the allocation that are brought forward. From the administrator allocation, from the class sizes were changed, the formula calculating for elementary and intermediate, and all those things has resulted in erosion. Again, while it wasn't this current government that made the changes, the fact of the matter, changes were made. And it's certainly important to move forward, and I do look forward to hearing from the Premier in relatively short order with details on what this process will look like.
Quickly before we move on to another call, Dean, I heard Tony Stack this morning on the VOC Morning Show and talking about absenteeism. Now, I do think we still have to continue to follow up on the Child and Youth Advocates report regarding chronic absenteeism. I think that's been kind of overlooked, unfortunately so. But absenteeism during the pandemic and the return to school, you know, he talks about it's difficult to assess online attendance, and I don't know, it was kind of a confusing answer. What do we know about attendance?
Well, again, what I've heard from teachers, again, anecdotally, is that they're pleased with the attendance and engagement they've had with their students online to date. Again, I want to stress that I haven't seen any qualitative data, but I guess I can reflect back to when I was an online educator myself, and something I'll be returning to in this fall, is that students can and do participate online. So my experience as an online educator when I was engaged with that, and I'm going back to it again, was that my attendance patterns were very similar to what I saw in a site-based environment. That being said, there is a shift that's had to happen, and it's so important that teachers be given the time to adapt their practices to why, if there's going to be any change in the system, it's so important that there be sufficient lead time for teachers to make the necessary preparations, whether it's going from site-based to online or from online back to site-based. It's important that teachers have the lead time to make the necessary preparations, and the sooner they're made aware of what any changes may be, the better for everyone. An announcement made very late at night, while maybe unavoidable, it certainly makes things very complicated for those who have to implement those changes.
Yeah, no question. So let's hope Easter is an opportunity to do what they need to do to be rejuvenated, both the administrators, the staff, and the custodial and otherwise, and of course the students and their families. Enjoy their Easter break and come back raring to go. Good to have you on, Dean. Thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Dean England, president of the NLTA. Let's go.